You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's September 27th, 2024, and welcome to a special bonus episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. Over the next 2 days, in celebration of my 10th year as a content creator and 100 episodes of Midlife Side Quest, I'm going to be revisiting one of the highlights of my podcasting career, and that is my interview with Corey Barlog, creative director at Santa Monica Studio and writer and director on 2018's God of War. It's a little bit of a funny story how this conversation came to be. So 6 years ago, I just happened to tag Corey in a post on Twitter saying how cool it would be to talk to him about his new game. And to my complete shock and amazement, he responded by saying, "Yeah, sounds fun. Let's do it." Okay. So shortly after, I get an email from somebody at Sony to set up a date and a time for the interview. Also, kids, let this be a reminder that they can't tell you no if you never ask. You never know when someone's going to come up with the ball after a Hail Mary pass. So shoot your shot. So I got the email from the Sony PR gal to set things up. And the only problem is that the time they have available is a Thursday afternoon, I believe it was. And, you know, I have a job that, you know, actually pays me, unlike podcasting, and it's too late for me to get the day off. So I'm not about to let this opportunity pass me by. So I say, sure. And I just will have to figure it out later. Well, the day comes and I'm trying to find an office or a conference room or anything that's empty for me to duck into for half an hour to do this interview. And there's nothing. There's just nothing. Everything is occupied. So as a last resort, I do the only thing I can think of. I go out to the parking garage and I sit in my car for the call. Oh, the glamorous life of a content creator. So the interview goes great, though. And if you didn't hear it when it first came out in 2018, I hope you enjoy this look back at it. It was recorded just a few weeks after God of War came out, and it's a really good conversation. Now, fair warning, this was done over the phone, in my car, in a parking ramp, using an app to record the call. The sound quality of this thing is less than ideal, let's say. So, you know, there's also a weird beeping that you may pick up on that I never did figure out what the heck it was. So forgive me. It is what it is. But still, I hope you enjoy.
You're both hearing that beep then, too?
Yes, I believe it's the government tapping this line. Most people say I'm crazy, though, so, you know, take from that what you will.
I don't know. I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't put it past them.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Or aliens, you know. Those are the two prevailing themes.
Right. Well, yeah, like I said, thanks for taking the time to talk to me. And then I guess before we get started, I just want to say, first of all, congratulations on the huge success of the game. You and the team must be incredibly proud of the reception it's been getting.
Yes, it's amazing and surprising and an incredible sort of roller coaster ride. A lot of people have been on their breaks, so I only get to sort of run into people sporadically, but it's very inspiring, you know. It was very hard to do, very exhausting, and you know, seeing people actually enthusiastic after such a long marathon is amazing.
Yeah, I can imagine. So why don't you tell me a little bit first about your role in the game and the development. So you're the creative director. What does that entail? What do you oversee as far as the production of the game?
So it's a little bit different from a lot of other studios in that I oversee almost every aspect of the game. Like, I'm involved in all aspects to kind of shepherd the initial vision. So I come up with the kind of core concept of what we're doing, which was, you know, Kratos is going to get a new fresh start. We're going to reboot, not necessarily start the timeline over. He's going to be a dad. And then sort of core story outline, character creation. I start working with every department across the board to kind of shepherd the game forward. You know, and that, right. that goes all the way out to when we start doing marketing and discussions about how the game gets presented. I'm the one kind of working with the marketing teams to ensure that all of us are on the same page, because they don't initially get the luxury of actually playing through a bunch of the game because it's not really ready. So a lot of it comes through in me sort of talking about it, helping them understand what the sort of core tone and vision of everything is in the game.
Sure.
And then it's just the daily basis of going around to everybody's desks, playing the game, talking about moments, you know, just sort of working with everybody to try to get everything to hit exactly how it needs to hit.
So, yeah, this really, it really is your baby then.
Very much so.
Yeah. What was, I mean, what would you say was your inspiration? I mean, I know you were very much involved in the first couple of God of War games. What inspired you to both return to the series, but also to come at it from this fairly radically new angle as far as the tone goes and story?
It was like a combination that when I knew that when I was finishing the Tomb Raider reboot over at Crystal, mm-hmm. that I probably wasn't going to go on to direct the second game. I was brought on to do that, and I kind of realized, you know, that they've got a lot going on. It seems like everything's in order, and that I would really just be kind of following the sort of rails that they had set in, and I was, you know, not that intrigued in spending many, many years on something like that.
Right.
And I was talking to the head of the studio at Santa Monica about, you know, potentially coming back, and I had said, I've been really sort of mulling over, you know, God of War in my head a little bit, and I think I might actually have a God of War story in my head still. Because I kind of felt very responsible, Dave Jaffe and I, in some ways I feel like, you know, the two dads of Kratos, and that, you know, we were a large part of creating him. Jaffe sort of started the project, he was the visionary, but when I came on as the lead animator, an animation director, I guess, is what I ended up being by the end of the project, I established, like, how Kratos moved, all the combat, you know, the sort of cinematics, everything like that. And I feel like, you know, at that point, he and I were really sort of at the genesis of Kratos. So when I left and saw where the franchise was going, I realized that we hadn't really explored everything we possibly could. And then when I got back to the studio, I kind of saw that everybody, that I had worked with 10 years ago, was old, you know, we were all old. Like, we were all looking at the world differently. Like, we were, you know, noticeably slower and kind of realized, like, what's going on? And it's like, I hear from all these people I haven't seen in so long, you know, the stories of their lives, you know, up to that point, having kids and, the, you know, just the things that have changed them, experiences that have formed them by that point. And I, you know, I had already realized when my son was born, in the crunch mode of Tomb Raider, you know,
sure.
when it was like the last like push and, you know, very difficult times all around. I also realized that how much that had affected me and changed me, and it all just sort of clicked into place in that realization that, you know, the Kratos needs the ability, the opportunity, I think, to change. And prior to the game that we did, he really was sort of embraced just to be the one-dimensional guy, right? And I think he needed somebody, a foil, to force him to change and re-examine things. And I was like, all right, well, as a uncreative writer, a lot of the times it's just much easier to grab something within 6 to 8 inches of yourself and say, oh, okay, that's interesting. What about that? And, you know, my own sort of self-reflecting in the beginning of fatherhood that made me realize, like, wow, there's so much going on here. right? Like, one of the core themes was this idea behind identity of, like, you know, how much of our real selves do we show our children? And in my case, it's not really that big of a deal, but in Kratos' case, it's a big deal.
There's a lot of baggage there, yeah.
Yeah, and that baggage really reflects specifically on what he's wanted his whole life, right? That if he has a son, and that son is a god, but his son never knows he's a god, then in some ways he's able to pass on the thing that he never got, which was, I just wish I never knew any of this stuff happened. You know, like, it's terrible. Like, again, he begins the game with really terrible fatherhood lessons, and that is the intent, is that he goes through realizing the error in his sort of lessons and his ways, and he has to figure out how to step up and actually be there.
So the relationship, I mean, the back and forth, the relationship between Kratos and Atreus, I mean, that's the core of the game from what I've experienced so far. I'm only about halfway through, I gotta say. Mainly because it's a tough game to play in front of a 6-year-old, so I gotta... That's a late at night kind of a game, so I'm still making my way through it, but that relationship is very much seems to be at the core of what the entire story is about. And I've heard a lot of people, you know, saying that, you know, that relationship feels very real to them, and it hits home in a lot of ways. I mean, have you heard a lot of that from players, and a lot of response to that relationship?
Yeah. It's been, I mean, it is a testament to the fact that I'm working with two really good writers, Matt Sophos and Rich Gobert. And they both have sons, so all three of us kind of have a similar situation, and we bring different perspectives on that same situation. So all these little moments that sort of add up to the overall relationship are built individually by, hey, this happened, you know, or, hey, this is really interesting. You know, the story I tell is the wine scene that... at its root, right, was based on, you know, like, what are these milestones in fatherhood? You know, like having a beer with your dad and going on a roller coaster for the first time, seeing a fireworks display. Like, just all these kind of, like, big moments that you sort of remember because they are the firsts that you share. And in that moment, it was not written for him to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my son had done it the day before we were shooting. And... it was just something he did, and then I did it back to him, and then he did it back to me, and we kind of just had this back and forth of like 3 or 4 times, and I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And then I was on the set, and I just kind of was like, oh my gosh, this is what it's missing. You know, just pulling it directly from 24 hours early, we had that experience. And I mean, that kind of stuff existed throughout the duration of the project, you know, that it was just, it was the ultimate inspiration for so many of the moments in there was, you know, oh, hey, this happened last night, or we hear something from somebody else on the team. That was the other thing, of just passing somebody in the hall and hearing a story from them and me saying, I'm going to steal that and put that in the game.
Yeah, it definitely comes across very, very real, you know, the relationship. There's nothing artificial about it. It just seems so genuine. So you said your son was born during the end of the Tomb Raider. So how old is he about now then?
He is 5 and a half.
5 and a half. So the development, from what I've heard, took about, what, 5 years then?
Yeah.
For
I was brought on, I think I started in July of 2013, but I started thinking about this, I think, in end of April, you know, end of April, May-ish time frame, was starting to really process and think about it. But yeah, for me, 5 years, and then we had a team of 12 for a year in the beginning, and then I pretty much inherited 150 people on the second year.
Wow. I mean, game development can be, I mean, it's kind of notorious for being very demanding of a career. Was it difficult ever to find a balance between your work life and then home life with having a young son?
Yeah. Yes. Very much so for me. Me personally, it's, you know, it's a big responsibility to do this specific job. Mm-hmm. But also, in some ways, I think that I sensed this was one of those moments that I needed to put every single thing I had into it, right? That it was going to be something, I mean, at least that when I came in and really started processing this idea, it was something that I felt like I was going to be proud of to actually tell my son about, that I hoped that when he is older, that we could sit and play it together, right? It would be something that I put a lot of myself into that I actually was proud to show everybody in my family. Like, I just sent my wife and son actually have been spending the last 4 months in Sweden because we're having all this stuff done to the house. So it's just more comfortable for them to be there during the last bit of finishing the game, and I have a lot of the traveling for PR.
Right.
So I've seen them for like 3 days since January. Yeah, it's really tough. So my wife is actually going to get a chance to play the game. We just sent her a PS4. So that'll be great, because I don't imagine really any of the other stuff I had played, she was not terribly interested. She used to work in video games, but still was like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
she's hard to impress, right? But I think on this one, I just feel like it's something I knew I had to put a lot of myself into, because I wanted to be very proud of this when I finished. And, what I discovered throughout this, the character thing that people would think I identify with, that I sort of modeled a little bit from, is not the character they would expect. I won't say any more because you haven't finished the game, but suffice to say that the character I sort of more identify with is a character that isn't there often. And that is something I would like to fix.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot for people to connect with. You know, I connect with Kratos, you know, as a father, you know, myself struggling to raise children. But then, you know, like I said, there's also ways that I relate to Atreus as someone who has a father that was, you know, oftentimes distant or not there or detached. So, yeah. I can see how, you know, there's so many characters that people could latch onto.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of this special bonus episode of Midlife Side Quest. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning for the conclusion of my interview with Corey Barlog. And remember that you can catch regular episodes of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review while you're there. And you can follow me on Threads by looking for Midlife Side Quest. So until next time, be well and happy gaming.